Welcome to the YDT Summit, the show where we interview the professionals, grab the best knowledge we can to equip you so you can go into the dance industry with confidence. Enjoy. Hi everyone, welcome to the YDT Summit. Today we're here with the wonderful Phil. Would you mind giving a bit of background, sort of what your journey's been in dance up to now?
Yeah, sure. I started dancing when I was 12, and that was only because they put dance in the school curriculum in my second year at high school. And as soon as I started jumping and running from the corner, I was hooked. The simplest thing of doing four jumps, four runs, four jumps. And then I was talking about that to my mum for weeks. So that's how it started. And then I kind of followed dance through the curriculum. So I did A-level BTEC dance, and then I ended up at Northern, where I'm teaching now. And then I stopped because I found it really difficult to meet the amount of rejection you can face, you know, like always getting to the last bunch of people in auditions. I found that really challenging. And because I'd been working as like an assistant manager in a bar, that was like my bread and butter money. The people who owned this bar, they bought a club and said, "Would you like to come and run it?" And I was like, yeah. And because I was so kind of disappointed with my experience in dance to that point, I kind of jumped ship and I started doing all sorts of cabaret entertainment. I got into drag and that sort of stuff. And then in 2007, I'd started teaching dance to younger groups. And Verve, as it is now, they had their first year. So I was like the inaugural cohort of Verve in 2007. And then that really changed things for me. I had some wonderful mentors in that time. And then the jobs just started arriving as my mindset changed and I was prepared to sit in all of that a little bit more. The jobs started arriving, and so I ended up doing a lot of freelance work. I danced for Shobhana Jaya Singh. I danced with Phoenix, with Danada Dance Theatre, Slanjivadantha, Vincent Dance Theatre, and then produced a load of my own work. And then finally arrived 5 years ago as a lecturer at Northern.
Nice. Quite the journey you've been on.
It was. It's still journeying. That's the best thing about it.
With that work that you have been creating, like, how did you go about sort of getting that seen? Like, was there any particular places you were reaching out to?
I always, I'm going to say intuitively, connected my work to pre-existing organizations. So the first work that I started producing, and this was like way back when I first graduated, before I kind of temporarily threw the towel in, a couple of friends and I were making some work and we partnered Kirklees Council, and they gave us space and they also gave us audiences. It was mainly education, but we were taking it into schools. And then when performance platforms came up that had like an educational angle, mm-hmm. we had that there. So for me, it's always been about trying to partner people, not selfishly, kind of giving them something. You know, it's like, we can make this educational work for you. You can help us get our work out there. And that has been a kind of trend. So the project, I've got Arts Council funding in September for a project that's going to be happening this year. And again, that's kind of partnerships. I'm partnering with with Yorkshire Sculpture Park. And they're going to give us some space and they're going to give us permission to perform outdoors in amongst all the sculptures. And they have, like, pre-COVID, they had about 700 footfall per day. So if you're there like all day making work outside and performing work outside, you're reaching like 700 people as they pass you. So there's been like quite a strategic partnering element to what I do.
Nice. That's really interesting, actually. And how did you find that whole process?
Of partnering?
Sort of, well, partnering, but also just sort of starting out with creation.
Do you know what? I don't feel like I ever just started out with creation.
Yeah.
Like when I was telling you about how dance came into my life in the school curriculum, it came through creation as well. You know, we had dance classes, but a massive part of it was creative dance and making work. And the course was called Expressive Arts. So it was about kind of turning ideas into performance and expressing those ideas. So creation's always really been there. And it feels like it's been evolving. And I don't consider myself like a brilliant maker. And I'm not really about trying to really reach international audiences. I feel like I'm more of a local artist. And occasionally my work goes national. But for me, that kind of creation is an ongoing part. And I think that expressive arts module is really deeply embedded in not just what I do, but who I am. Mm-hmm. So I'm always creating to get the ideas that are in my head, just to get them out in the world so that I can make more sense of them, so that I can feel a little bit more sane.
Yeah, that's awesome. I like sort of how you put that, how it's sort of always been there. Because I mean, with any dancer, sort of part of creation is always embedded in there somewhere.
Yeah, I think it has to be. The amount of hardship and blood and sweat and tears and injuries that you go through to become a dancer, you're like really literally evolving who you are one moment after the next, after the next, after the next. And it's painful. And I think you have to lean into your creative instincts. I trained, part of my journey, as you know, is that I kind of trained as a life coach from like 2015, and that's ongoing. And I trained in the coactive coaching model. And one of their cornerstones for practice is that people are naturally creative, resourceful, and whole. And that really resonated for me when I met that cornerstone, because it's true. That's kind of what's been there for me all along. And I think that's what's there for dancers and what's there for everyone. So creativity is there. It's always in you. You just have to kind of allow it and feed it and be prepared for it to not go so well sometimes.
Nice. If I could sort of jump back a little bit, you said sort of when you sort of came back into the dance world, you had that mindset switch. Could you go into a bit more detail of what that was and sort of how people could maybe apply it to themselves?
Yes, yeah. I'll try to understand it. Probably one of the things is that I think 2003 maybe is when I started the club, and I was there for about two, three years. And it sounds super cheesy, but you don't know what you've got till it's gone. And when that dance, I mean, loads of our third year students will recognize where I was with this, but you get to that point where it's like, this is just all it is. It's relentless and you need to step away from it. But then you do kind of go, oh no, I do really like it. I'm understanding more what it's about. So the absence of it was kind of the first thing. And when this opportunity came up to do Verve, I was like, yep, I'm doing this, I'm all in. I'm gonna make up for the mistakes that I made in my degree, because I wasn't a model student. I was quite, I was a little bit rebellious and naughty, but then in Verve, you know, I thought, I've realized what it means now to not have that. And now I know that I really want it and I'm gonna go all in. So there was that part of it. Mm-hmm. I'm not suggesting that people take like a 3-year hiatus, but if you can find that, if you can ask yourself, you know, like, who would I be without this in my life? Mm-hmm. What would it mean to not have this available to me all the time because I'm so committed in this other job, which is really full on? And then when I kind of got there and I started going through it, that was around the time that I'd started to get interested in personal development. So I wasn't working with a coach at the time, but I was working with people who do self-development workshops and that sort of thing. And I just really started trying to unpick all of the things which make me who I am, what my values were, and to redefine what success would mean for me. You know, if I had another go at making dance work and I wanted to achieve success, what would that be? Because obviously what I was aiming for the first time didn't work. And so there was a lot of work around understanding that success is different for everybody. You know, I used to really compare myself heavily to people in my year, people who were around me at the time. So Gary Clark, he was the year above me at Northern, and he was just like always such a go-getter, and I found things like that really intimidating. It's like, why isn't that happening for me?
Yeah.
Not realizing that my kind of insecurities around that were what were holding me back. And as soon as I started to let go of that, it got easier. It didn't get better, but it got easier. So it's just that kind of self-development work, unpicking your blocks.
Yes.
And I think it's hard to say what that would be for people individually, because everybody's going to have their own blocks. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Nice. So with all of that creation and performing and teaching and touring, how did you sort of balance all of that?
The first thing is I try not to do the busy thing. Mm-hmm. You know, when people say, oh, you must be so busy. It's like, no, I don't do that. I try not to kind of say I'm really, really busy person. Like, so instead of having a to-do list that is there on my desk every day, I'll lay things out that need doing and then I put them in a diary. You know, it's like I give them a time and a day. So this, make a list of what needs to be done in that week, for example. And then, you know, is this urgent? Is it necessary? Do I want to do it? And there are certain things through that process anyway that I realize I don't have to do, that I'm choosing to do. Like, you don't have to brush your teeth. You choose to brush your teeth because you want them to be healthy. So it's kind of changing my relationship to a to-do list, putting it in a diary, giving it a time, and then just letting them arrive through the week. And then it's just about committing to doing things when you say you do them.
Yeah.
And that way you get like foresight, you create time. I think I know that there are a limited number of hours in a day, but I don't think that means that there isn't enough time if mm-hmm. you prioritize and shift. And that's kind of how I do it. So, like, as you know, I work at Northern. I'm there. Well, I'm not there, COVID and everything, but 5 days a week, 9 till 6, that's my Northern time. So I know that's already blocked out. Mm-hmm. I'm really lucky that they always support projects. So they give me time off here and there. And I'm sometimes allowed to sneak a few hours in the day where I might jump in a studio and rehearse. But aside from that, it's just kind of making sure, like with this idea of time lining rather than to-do listing, placing things realistically. But I think one of the other things I've found really useful is to always have something quite significant as a landmark in my journey when I'm creating. So getting the first performance in the diary, that's going to happen then, and then backtrack, where does everything need to be? And prioritizing your moment. Teaching is my priority at the minute, so that goes in the diary first. And then the other projects, I wouldn't say they're less of a priority, but because they're my projects, I can be more flexible.
Yeah.
And I can do them on my own time frame. Yeah.
Nice. Last question. If you could go back in time and tell yourself one thing at one time, what would you say?
Oh. So I want to be careful with this. Like, I don't want to go too far back that I change everything, because I'm so happy. I'm so happy with where things are right now. Maybe I could go back to like about 18 months ago and tell myself about COVID, and then have my past self go around and share all the knowledge and get ahead of the game and try it. And then there probably would have been a lot less anxiety at Easter time when we had to put all the modules online. That was when any hair that I had, the rest of it definitely fell out during Easter. Maybe a bit more seriously, I would like to go back to the beginning of my degree and maybe just tell myself to think about how I'm working. Mm-hmm. I think I had a big fish in little pond sort of ego when I did my degree. It's a very small cohort of people in Barnsley doing dance. Like in Barnsley College, Gary Clark and I were the only guys. So it's like, well, you're the best guys in the college. It's like, yeah, because we're the only one. So I would love to have gone back and taught myself how to work well, mm-hmm. and how to work with integrity. I definitely threw a lot of opportunities away during my degree. So I would go back to there and just give myself a little bit of a pep talk or a massive kick up the bum.
Nice. Well, thank you very much for coming on today. If people want to sort of follow what you're doing and keep up with you, where can they go to do that?
I have a website which is focused mainly on life coaching. So I work with the LGBT community as a life coach, and that's philsanger.com. I also have information on the academic profiles at Northern. Yeah, I'm not very public, I've just realized.
No problem at all. But yeah, thank you very much for coming on.
No worries. Thanks for having me. I've got a bit of an ego boost.